Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show, a real big shoe.
You're listening to the Penns Nation Radio Show with hosts Ken Will, Joe Depto, Ashley Langlois, Andy Hughes, and Nick Richter. Guests can call into the show at 347-202-0344, or you can tweet us at the Penns Nation.
Welcome to the Penns Nation Radio Show for January 15th, day three of training camp, and the Penguins are ready to go, and things look to be tuned up for tomorrow night's scrimmage. There was lots of five-on-five activity on the ice today, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, we've got Joe Depto, Nick Richter, Andy Hughes on the line with us, and I'd also like to welcome our guest from the Beaver County Times. We have Chris Bradford. How you doing, Chris?
Good, and you?
I'm doing real well tonight. Chris, I'm going to start off. I'm going to ask, how was the lockout for you? It must be great to be actually getting back to the rink and you know, covering hockey as opposed to anything else that's going on or the labor negotiations. I don't know how much you got into any of that, but just hockey itself, being in the rink. How's it feel?
It's been good to be back. It took long enough. I was starting to worry there for a little bit, but I was fairly confident that we would get back to playing at some point. I would have thought, you know, mid-December, but nothing like mid-January, so we're here and glad to be back.
And I got to ask, because I'm not as familiar with you. I think you played hockey, right? So what's your background here? You played hockey. Where did you grow up?
Nothing serious. I went to school at California, Pennsylvania, and helped start the club program down there in the mid-90s and, you know, continue to play beer league around here in the Beaver County area. That's the extent of my playing career. Never made it, you know, to the NHL or anything crazy like that. So.
But you were an original Vulcan.
I was an original Vulcan way back when.
Very nice. Today is day three of training camp, and some storylines are already starting to kind of evolve out of all of this. What's your take on the Bo Bennett versus Eric Tankrady battle for the second line left wing spot?
Well, I think long-term, Bennett will be the guy. He's more suited for a top six spot, but if he can't crack the top six right now, which he may not because he only has 30 games of professional experience, then I think Tankrady will probably get that look. And considering that Tankrady, you know, they gave up Whitney for him, you know, a few years ago, he's never really gotten an extended look with the big club, nor has he ever gotten really a look with top six talent. He's usually been reserved to a fourth line role and sporadic role at that. So I'd like to see Bennett, but I think it will be Tankrady when it's all said and done. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bennett's up at some point during the season. And, you know, again, next season, long term, I say he will be a part of the Penguins in the top six rotation.
Cool. Hey, well, one of the big issues for the Pens this year is on the blue line. It's pretty crowded. Who do you see making it from that Wilkes-Barre team up? You've got Brian Strait, you've got Simone Dupre. Kind of competing for a job there. I mean, who do you think is going to pull out of that pack?
I think Dupre, there's been some questions around him, surrounding his conditioning. I think he's going to get a spot on the roster. I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Bortuzzo is another one. They're talking about going with eight defensemen, so if they go with eight, I wouldn't be surprised if Dupre and Bortuzzo would be in the mix. Ben Lovejoy is interesting because, you know, he could be on the bubble there, which is kind of surprising. But, I would definitely go with Bortuzzo and Dupre from the Wilkes-Barre guys to come out of this.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch develop. I mean, there's so few real mysteries about the Penguins roster. But the ones that there are, they're actually pretty interesting and intriguing. But I got to ask you, Chris, because lots of Penns fans have kind of become a stir today, about a column that you wrote and you published in this morning's Beaver County Times. Yesterday was the Kenny Malkin's first day back with the Penguins after returning from, you know, playing with Russia during the lockout, and he declined to speak to the media yesterday. And you seem to have taken some kind of issue with it.
That's correct. I have gotten a lot of feedback. Some of it interesting, some of it not so interesting, but, you know, that's part of the job, and I always welcome here. Glad to hear from fans. So basically, the column was that as an alternate captain, he should speak on the first day of training camp. As the alternate captain and the most valuable player coming off of a four-month lockout that almost, you know, wiped out a season and really threatened the image and integrity of the game, I think that's a must. He has to speak. I don't run from that. I thought he should have spoken.
Do you think that there's maybe a little bit of concern on his part from as far as, I mean, he's been in Russia, in his native country, and he hasn't spoken any English at all, and that's, you know, very much his second language, and, you know, he already speaks spoken English when he's over here for a full season. Do you think there's maybe a little bit of a concern just coming off the jet, getting to practice, and then all of a sudden kind of being lumped back into this American culture?
I'm sure there was. I mean, you know, but he was going to talk today. So he talked today, and I don't know that he, you know, his English improved any in 24 hours. I'm sure he was tired, you know, but again, that comes with having an A on your jersey. That comes with, you know, being a professional, and I think you should have spoken.
Was there any kind of indication that maybe this was coming at the advice of any of the Penguins public relations staff?
I have no
just
idea.
Just strictly from Gino?
You know, I would have no idea. That would be up to them to answer. I can't answer for them.
Okay, and
they're good people. I have nothing against the Penguins PR staff or anybody there. They're great.
And one big thing I did have a question about, and I think kind of because the tone kind of stings of that there's that Gino still doesn't get it. And you make a big point about what getting it actually is. You know, obviously, a guy like Sidney Crosby, who's the face of the league, is someone who is always makes himself available to the media, aside from the Stanley Cup Finals, in that time where he actually did pull himself away and the coaching staff backed him all that and didn't speak to the media at all. Is that a case of a player not getting it?
Crosby during the Stanley Cup Final?
Yeah, and during that run in the playoffs, he did not speak to the media.
I don't remember him not speaking to the media.
Was there a time in his past, I guess, that makes still doesn't get it? Kind of the theme of the article. What happened in the past that makes it so that Gino still doesn't get it?
I don't know that he still doesn't get it. I think he didn't get it yesterday. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's a teachable moment. You know, he has to speak as, you know, a member of the leadership team. He has one of the A's on his jersey. I don't know that he still doesn't get it. I don't think he got it yesterday. I don't think he understood maybe that, you know, coming off the lockout, that there may be a fan backlash. You obviously don't see that here in Pittsburgh because I think the Penguins have been welcomed back with open arms. But around the league, you know, there may be a backlash elsewhere. And for the most valuable player, I think you have to speak.
Okay, so now the getting away from Evgeny Malkin, tomorrow night the Penguins have set up a scrimmage. Are you going to be covering that?
Actually, I'm not. I'm working on season preview stuff, so I have to finish that up tomorrow night for Thursday.
What are you most looking forward to about the Penguins this season? What kind of makes up their identity? What makes them fun to watch?
They're always anytime you have Crosby and Malkin, it's fun to watch. Then you throw into that mix a James Neal and a Chris Letang, who I think, you know, you have a pretty much a Norris Trophy winner in waiting, and Neal, who I think, obviously, because Lockett is not going to get 50 this year, but probably next year, he'll definitely be shooting for that 50 mark. They have more talent, I think, than any other team, more high-end talent, offensive skill. And anytime you can see that kind of hockey, that's always exciting to watch.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's just great to have hockey back in general. And it's hard to believe that we're only 4 days away from it now. It seems like it's been forever, and it does. I mean, just waiting for the schedule to come out, it just felt like an eternity. And finally, we're starting to chug away, and we're starting to tear days off that calendar, and we'll be back in action on Saturday. Well, good talking to you, Chris, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Chris Bedford from the Beaver County Times. First-time guest right there, and good to hear his kind of insight coming in. Joining us on the line now is Derek Rocco from the Pens Blog. Derek, how you doing?
That guy sucks. Let me just say that right now. I hope you're still listening, you coward piece of shit. You're not, like, give me a break. That guy, what is he talking about? Like, of all the things, his whole speech, like, about the, like, about how he still doesn't get it, makes no sense. I mean, I have to ask him if he's still listening, if he's able to use a computer. I'm surprised he was able to actually log on to use his phone, because he's obviously still living in the 1980s. I have to ask, I mean, do you have to talk to the media to win a Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh or in the NHL? Is that what's going on here? I mean,
that was protocol around the league.
That was something I thought was interesting, because, you know, we talked about Sidney Crosby, because in the playoffs he pulled himself away from the media and he wasn't answering any questions, and he did catch some flack from people, but I mean there wasn't anybody who didn't really accused him of not getting it, or whatever this ambiguous term idea is of getting it. And then he implies that, I mean, by saying still doesn't get it. Makes it seem like Evgeny Malkin has a history of doing this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, his whole demeanor is like, if Evgeny Malkin, did he hire Russian people to kill this guy's, like, dog or something? I mean, the guy was so angry. Like, his tone, like, I thought she did a great job of the interview. His tone was like if anybody's talking about not answering questions, like, every question he answered was, like two sentences. Like, was really bizarre. Really, really bizarre guy.
Yeah. Did you pick up in while he's interviewing him, Ken's asking him about, well, is there something that happened in the past? Can you point to a specific event that means he doesn't get it? And he literally responds to him with, well, I don't know that he still doesn't get it. And that was the headline in his article today. He just contradicted his own headline.
I don't write the headlines. Sorry, guys.
It made no sense at all. Wait, was he still here?
Yeah, I'm still on the line.
All right. So you're the guy in the Beaver County Times?
That is correct.
So what is your problem? Your entire article was completely. I mean, did you read it before you submitted it to your editors, or do you just get to publish anything you want?
Actually, it did get submitted to the editors, and it was approved.
Have your editors ever watched the NHL hockey season in its entirety, or is this your guys' first time?
I believe they have, but I can check.
I mean, is this your guys' first time covering the NHL up in Beaver County, or is that something you plan on doing in the future?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last question.
I said, did you guys plan on, since this is your first season covering the NHL in Beaver County, do you plan on continuing your coverage?
Yes, we do.
It's not your first season, because, I mean, based on your article, I mean, do you realize you're probably one of the first newspapers to ever call an MVP player say that he doesn't get it the year after he won the MVP and really every other major award in that game, in the NHL? I mean,
I don't think anybody can question what Evgeny Malkin has done on the ice, or even question that he's a bad guy off the ice. It wasn't a matter of being a good guy or a bad guy. It was a matter of, you know, probably a brain cramp on his part. Not
brain cramp? How's a brain cramp?
Because that's normal protocol for players to speak to the media.
I mean, that's not normal.
I mean,
protocol.
I know that is the normal protocol. They speak to the media. I mean, they don't have to do it every day, but when you do that on the first day of training camp, that's kind of sends an odd message. When you do it on the first day of a training camp, coming off 4 months,
he probably
has kind of a bigger problem.
Do you regret the article that you wrote?
No. No, I don't regret.
You don't regret it at all. You don't regret saying, basically insinuating that players need to talk to the media for them to be able to win championships in the NHL?
I don't believe I ever said a player has to talk to the media to win a championship.
You kind of said that. I think your quote was something along the lines of basically a good player needs to lead, but his leadership is shown through the media.
I think you might be twisting the words around a little bit, but
It was on the paper. It's very curious. Colin, do you see people's anger with the article?
No, believe me, it doesn't come out of a place of anger.
Well, if it did one thing, it definitely has a lot of people out there talking about
it. It is amazing that it did get as talked about as it did, but, that comes with the territory.
it certainly does, and I think Derek's call just dropped. So,
okay.
I guess there's one of the fans. You say you like hearing from him.
Wow. All
right.
Great, guys. Thank you.
You too. Away from Evgeny Malkin and everything like that, the Penn scrimmage tomorrow night, it will be broadcast by Root Sports, as we're seeing. So we are the first chance we get to see the new new director of Penguins Hockey Games of Root Sports actually getting to work there.
Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty cool night for a lot of people. Practice for everyone, basically. I mean, obviously the players, they're going to be dealing with a lot of situations. I think there's going to be some 5-on-3s, some power plays. They're going to play 20 minutes, going to have arena music, announcers, like you said, on Root Sports, on the radio. So everyone's really going to get a little practice. It's almost like a dress rehearsal almost. So it should be a kind of a cool night, and it's free, so anyone can go out to the arena, watch the game, and just get back into the hockey atmosphere, the great hockey atmosphere at the Consol Energy Center.
I know it's exciting to think about it, and I mean, I was just watching NHL Network last night. We're into – how many years is it now in Consol Energy Center? Because I've lost track. Is this year 4?
3?
This is year 3. Just in general, I mean, Consol Energy Center, it's never going to be Mellon Arena, especially for all of us who grew up with Mellon Arena as our home. But just watching it on TV and seeing it in the background and watching all the players actually get out there on the ice, it's one of the first times that I saw a picture or a shot of it, and I thought, man, it's good to see home. Consol Energy Center is where Penguins home now there. And some of those players, that's the only home they've known for the Penguins.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I know I got I lucked out. I don't know how many fans, how many people I want to know. I tried to get tickets this morning, ran into problems or had issues.
Yeah.
Weren't able to either get tickets or it took a long time. I know for me it took me about 15 minutes of refreshing and trying over and over and over again. But I actually was able to get through and get my tickets actually the pretty close to the exact seats that I was looking for there, too. I know that won't be alone. It sold out pretty quickly. And we'll see. What do you think of the idea of gold versus white? As far as the whiteout, what's your opinion on the whiteout? I guess, do you think it's something that's just a little bit too unoriginal, or do you think that that the whiteout has become a Pittsburgh thing?
Blackout. Go with the blackout. So it's a whiteout.
I think that the reason they wouldn't do that is because it messes with the eyes for the goalie. They lose track of the puck with all that black. So. Yeah,
I've heard that time and time again.
And you're hurting the other goalie as well. Go for it.
Yeah. I think everybody just doesn't want to take that chance. But I'd like to see it. I'd like to, because I know a lot of colleges have done blackouts. And it looks great in the arena. Some people say that they'll just make the arena look empty.
Though.
But
I mean,
but I disagree.
It
with
happens
that.
In the third period of every Penguins game. There's a blackout. About 5 minutes in.
Oh God! But it could be a new Penguins promotion this year is going to be who can see their car in the parking garage first.
They should do it almost like what they should really do is try to keep them in as long as they possibly can. Like the car promotions that you have to win the car, you have to have your hand on it the longest. Whoever keeps their hand on the car the longest wins the car, and that you see them go for days without moving away from the car so they could win it. They should do that. Like whoever keeps their butt on their seat the longest wins. Like if it's the next game or something, I don't know.
I mean, they need to do something, though, because it is pretty ridiculous. Even when there's something at stake, and, I mean, in every game this year, every home game, every game period in this shortened season, there's going to be something at stake. We're not talking about 82 games. It's not the same type of marathon that we're accustomed to. Every game is meaningful starting from game one, more so than ever. And to have people just bolting for the exits is going to be, it's ridiculous with 5 to 10 minutes left in the third period or at any time.
I mean, it could be
like Wheeling
where it's a blackout 10 minutes before the game, 10 minutes into the game, 10 minutes into the second. You get the drift.
Oh, even need, is there any reason to even flip a light switch?
I think
it's
something that takes 5 to 10 minutes for the lights to turn on. They have to heat up first, and then they come on. I'm really not joking.
I know. It's but you know, even that little place, it does have a little bit of charm. Those games are kind of fun, but yeah, it's been pretty rough as far as, you know, the Nailers performing all of this season. It hasn't been the greatest season, and then their attendance numbers.
Well, lately they've been great. They've won like 12 out of the past 15 or something.
And they picked a great time to start to pick it up, you know, now that NHL hockey's back.
Yeah, but no one talks about that anymore. They just talk about all the wrong things. So
they literally, Wheeling Nailers had so much free publicity through things like Penguins Radio was talking about the Nailers consistently, but, you know, they were horrible, and nobody wanted to know. There's no attention wanted to go there. So, like, Robert Morris, and they've been cashing in on it because they've actually had a successful season. Penn State hockey in their first Division I year got a lot of pub from all of this. Obviously, Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins have got a lot of attention also. Wheeling Nailers.
Speaking of which, though, Wilkes-Barre team, how many are supposed to be called up for part of this game tomorrow? Is that rumor or is that actually legit?
I think the guys that have Penguin contracts or whatever.
I think I heard 14.
Yeah.
How does that work with, like, waivers?
That's a lot.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
From what I understand, but basically what they're doing, and I don't know this for sure. I talked to someone in Wilkes-Barre that gave me a very vague description of it, but they said that they're flying the team from Norfolk to Pittsburgh and then from Pittsburgh to Wilkes-Barre. Then they're going to have, like, I don't know if they're going to have, like, call-ups from Wheeling, if they're just going to, like, fly a couple guys from Wheeling to Wilkes-Barre.
Neat doggy dog.
Or to, like, compensate for all the players going to Pittsburgh. I know Wilkes-Barre fans are really pissed about it.
What do you mean? They don't have a game until Sunday, I think. Like, because they're off from, I think they play tonight, and they don't have another game until Sunday or later in the weekend. They actually have an extended break here. So I was kind of wondering whether, whatever was looking at that schedule originally, if they would do something that a lot of teams are doing where they have an inter-organization scrimmage where the Penguins would play the Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And the Penguins have a history of doing that, actually, during their extended training camps where they actually go out to Wilkes-Barre and do a scrimmage with the minor league club. And even Mario Lemieux suited up in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton jersey for one preseason game, I think it was his final year, actually.
When I was
I went to, this is back when the Penguins and Capitals played in the Winter Classic, that weekend when they had Hershey and Wilkes-Barre play at Consol Energy Center, there was a guy that was standing in front of me in the concessions line at Permanente Brothers who was wearing a Wilkes-Barre Scranton Mary Lemieux jersey. And I wanted to steal it from him. It was pretty awesome.
It is kind of a sight to see. You do a double take when you see something like that. And I know Crosby kind of did the same thing. And it's like, wait a minute, what jersey is that? You know, you're used to seeing like the classic Sidney Crosby in a Penguins jersey, Canada jersey, Rimouski in Oceanic, and all, but not in a Wilkes-Barre Scranton jersey. It's kind of, you know, he hasn't worn that many sweaters in his lifetime compared to a lot of players. But it does. And especially when you see the C stitched on there for it. Speaking of captaincies, there's a lot of rotations and changes that are going on within the National Hockey League this year. And two rivals have announced their captains today. One rival in the West that we haven't seen too much of over the past few seasons is the Detroit Red Wings, announcing, to no surprise, Henrik Zetterberg as their captain. It's kind of a cool sight. They had all the players come into the press conference, and they were all present for it. And Zetterberg, it was almost like they were announcing the new general manager for the team. You know, there's that much kind of pomp and circumstance surrounding the whole event. But it was cool because it was really a show of solidarity for Henrik Zetterberg, and they have a lot of history behind that letter on the jersey. And then Philadelphia Flyers, with Chris Pronger out of the lineup and does not look to return anytime soon, if ever, with them. The Flyers are officially named Claude Giroux as their captain. What are your thoughts on this, Zetterberg and Giroux? Do they show the kind of leadership on and off the ice that are required of that position?
I was a little surprised that Zetterberg got it. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be considering how long he's been there, and he's been a pretty outspoken guy, but I kind of figured that Datsyuk would be the guy.
I think Datsyuk is a guy who is definitely getting a lot of consideration and a lot of attention. I'm trying to think, how many captains has that been for Detroit over the past, I think, 30 years? It's only like four or five when you think about it, how long Steve Yzerman wore the C for that team. And then Nick Lidstrom, following Yzerman's retirement, also had a lengthy career. So not that many guys have been wearing that, and Henrik Zetterberg stepping up here. It is just kind of odd, and you kind of wonder how much he has left in the tank, especially as players' careers get shorter and shorter. How long will he be the captain in Detroit? And then Claude Giroux, I think, honestly, I'm kind of surprised that that one's not the shocker that is jumping out to a lot of people. Not that Claude Giroux isn't deserving, but a lot of people thought that it was a little bit ahead of his time or before his time. Some people were even pointing at Scott Hartnell as the more likely candidate to be captain for that team.
People said the same thing about Crosby, though, and it worked out.
It did.
Yep. Yeah, I wasn't surprised by the Giroux. It wasn't a matter of if anymore. It was just a matter of when, and today they made the decision.
And it'll be interesting to see if there's the same kind of rumors surrounding Claude Giroux as there was with Crosby, because some people did think it was early for him, and it may have been, really, but the truth of it is, from a changing of the guard and organization, I think it happened at the exact time it needed to happen, because it was a statement, as well as actually giving him that leadership role by both Michelle Therrien and whenever it was made official as full-time captain, whenever that happened in the following offseason. Now Giroux, we see, is there going to be some kind of like rumors like Mark Recchi backstabbing him and saying that, you know, he's these young little brats on the team think they know it all, as we heard with Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh? I don't know. I'm not saying that Mark Recchi said that. I'm just saying that everybody said that Mark Recchi said that, but it's not necessarily true at all. A few program notes, I got to say. This is our final show on Block Talk Radio. Not our final show. We'll be keeping, still doing this, but Block Talk Radio, you have screwed us for the last time. These technical difficulties suck. if you're listening and you want to do your own radio show, do not use Blog Talk Radio. Is that slander? I don't care. Screw you. Thank you for listening to the Penn Nation Radio Show.
That's the truth.
Fact.
See you later.